I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? How are you now? How are you now? Brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange and broadcasting from the studios of Sydney in Gadigal country. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast, Season 8, Episode 15. Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. A reminder, all of the advice contained in this is, General advice. General in nature. Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm James Whelan, Investment Manager at VFS Group. I've also got some pretty ordinary... It's pretty audio or internet connections going on here, but I'm sure it's going to be okay. In the end, we'll see if it mixes out in the wash. If not, then it doesn't matter. I'm joined here by Heath Moss of HLM. Oh, sorry, yes, I'm at VFS. Very soon, I'm not going to be at VFS, but we'll get into that in a second. I'm joined here by Heath Moss of HLM Investment. Heath, how are you now?
Very good morning to you, James, and to all our watchers and listeners out there. Yeah, very, very well this morning. A bit early. We're doing this one a little bit earlier. Just had my Weet-Bix and coffee, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, mate. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us. I've got to do the visual thing. I'm a white male, age 42. I'm wearing one of my favorite sweaters. It's a blue, this really nice pastel blue polo sweater that's really good. Anyway, so that's the visualization that I like to do to make sure everyone's sort of on board with where it is. We're also live, well, not live, but we're on YouTube here as well. Now, Gregory, our producer, bonjour. Gregory, if you're out there, he did snap at me that I have to make the introductions a lot tighter, a lot quicker. Should get it down to about 20 seconds, you're saying. So I think that we're doing okay there. So this episode is being recorded in Sydney. It's the 21st of July, 2023 AD. Now, Heath, am I coming through laggy still like that? That's really ordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a sync problem there, but I think we'll have to just push through it.
Okay. Now let's go. Well, we've got a few things to discuss. It's going to be a really quick episode today because it's such a busy time. First off, look at this. I got the banana. That's the last of that banana. This is the last 10 minutes of its life before it has to get thrown away. I think I'm going to go for it in the last possible moment.
That's pretty good for a banana cake.
Yeah, it's banana getting bread. Into that stage. It really is getting into that stage where you're going to have to do it. Now, market, NASDAQ took a bit of a hit last night. What was it, off about 2% mainly on two big stocks, Tesla and the Netflix, even though the reporting wasn't super bad. It was just some things in there about margins. I think some stuff, what was it? I'm trying to figure out what the Netflix news was. But
I think it's subscriber growth and margins. And again, they were both priced for perfection. So unless they came out with massive beats, I think it was going to be hard for them to see, green last night. I don't know. Have you got the charts up there yet? No, not yet.
Yeah, hang on. I'll just fill it up here.
Yeah, get through there. Hurry up.
Yeah, I'm going to put that up there. Let's see. I've just got TradingView on here because.
But anyway, they weren't bad reports by any means. I had a quick squeeze through them. They looked like they met market. Expectations maybe a little bit above, but like I said, these stocks have rallied so hard and are priced for so much perfection over the last few months that I think the market is like, we'll just take something off the top here. And I mean, something like Tesla also got the rebalancing next on the 24th, so that's going to provide a few headwinds there as well. So maybe the market was like, okay, we've had enough, we'll just stop it right there.
It does seem that way. I was listening to the ComSec podcast came up this morning with Tom Petrovsky doing his usual thing, talking to Craig James, who I got a lot of respect for both those guys. And Craig was sort of that throwaway comment, just going, if it's not beating by the amount that it's expected to be beating by, then it'll get profit taken. And that seems to make enough sense to me to go, okay, that's good enough. Maybe then we'll finally see that Mike Wilson from Morgan Stanley. Now, I've got a lot of respect for these guys. I listened to Morgan Stanley managed to get me through COVID effectively, following their ideas and their motion. But Mike Wilson has been banging the drum about this market needing to correct, or the market is going to correct, the bearish call that they've had most of the year has been wrong. And at what stage, not to harp on it, because you're only as good as your last innings, but at what stage, not to talk about Mike specifically, but at what stage do you stop being right? It doesn't matter what happens. So if now the market did come off for some reason, 15% or something like that on a valuation reset, if someone has been saying it's going to be coming, you know, there's people who are saying, oh, the next correction is coming in, and then eventually it does come in. It happens to be 6 months after they originally called it, and they say they were right. You're not, because you're not right. No. If you don't get the timing right, you're not right.
And you can be really right in this market, but yet so wrong. And Morgan Stanley have missed out on probably a 40% rally in the NASDAQ by not being, you know, active and being that negative bearish drum. I mean, look, I'm with Mike on a lot of his points. I agree with him 100%. Fundamentally, I mean, a lot of this rally doesn't make sense, but I haven't been beating that drum since, I think it's October last year, November last year. It's only in the last few recent months I've been saying, hey, this is looking out of whack here. I'm not willing to pay 19 times for a market when you've got a cash rate at over 5% and earnings coming off. So, like you said, you can eventually be right, but you can be so wrong in between and it can really hurt.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. Wow, my internet is super laggy. I hope this really does come through okay. All right, what's next? Now, your note came out. Which is good. Yeah. Congratulations to it. We're all very proud of it and are very supportive of that notes coming out.
Thank you.
We've got, what else have we got here? So the Australian economy. Let's get to Aussie. Let's go local. Mm. We saw an unemployment rate drop yesterday, and the Aussie dollar rallied on the back of that. 3.5% with a lower participation rate. What are you seeing in the Aussie economy? We're going to go through the same thing we have to go through every single time and talk about, is there any change to your rate expectations?
No, I mean, for me, it's still 50-50 for August. They'll get the quarterly and monthly CPI data out before the next meeting, and it really comes down to that. And it's very similar to the US economy in terms of, you know, showing really mixed signals. Some of the consumer spending is really soft. We saw Flight Centre come out during the week and upgrade their profits guidance for the year, saying how, you know, strong the consumer was, especially in corporate travel, and their leisure has turned around nicely. Their total transaction value is now $22 billion. That's only a smidge under 2019, which is $23.7 billion. So they're almost totally back, come full circle again. But they're saying the consumer is extremely strong and still prioritizing travel over anything else. So the Australian consumer still is in a half decent spot. But there's just so many headwinds to come still for that Australian consumer. We still haven't had rates fully priced in terms of the household budget. We've got $264 billion of fixed interest rate mortgages to come over to the variable. That's all going to hit the back pocket in the third quarter, I think. So honestly, it's a real tough position to call the Australian economy in terms of where we're at. And it's very much like the US economy, showing signals from both sides. And you really, it's the type of market you could get chopped up in, because the Australian market really hasn't performed as well as the US market. We haven't got that tech sector bounce that the US has. So, it's a tough one, but I'm still saying 50-50 for the RBA. Consumers still looking okay, but with some pain to come.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm just sort of lazily bullish sort of on that regard of just trying not to pick it too much. Also, because I'm just so busy right now with everything that I'm doing, I haven't had as much time to really pick out the eyes of this market as I probably should have. And amazingly, it's actually been quite beneficial to performance. The less you do, the better it is, as long as you're invested.
Yeah.
It's all okay. Yeah. And I did make this time last week, what did I make? I made that sort of a vague, could this be the buy everything commencement? And I'm now pretty strongly behind that you've got a commodities good to go. Aussie's okay to go. The US is going to continue banging on as it's done. Bonds are going to rally as well, just on that, you know, that we're going to have more and more. It's actually now moved. And again, sort of just thinking about Mike Wilson, it's now moved from being disinflationary to actually deflationary, some of these things. You did mention
air
travel is actually now sort of moving into, even though there's huge demand for these things, they're actually now moving to a deflationary stance, which is interesting. Yeah. That started to go that way. And that's the next thing that we're going to start to see, which is going to be good. And China is disinflationary. Don't forget. I saw the first chat of this one. So if anyone who remembers back to that Christmas episode that we did late last year with Kit Lowe dropped into it. It's always good when Kit comes on the show because he's always just super intelligent. And I respect everything that he says, even when it's just insulting me, which is often. But Kit did say, and I said, China coming back online. Because remember, we're talking about China coming out of COVID at Christmas last year. China coming back online is inflationary, coming back in, buying everything. That has actually been a bit of a letdown from expectations. I think that the expectations were probably... I think the expectations were correct, and I do believe that China actually was unders. They missed it, and that's sort of now we have to get used to that. But now I saw the first note. So, yeah, and then Kit did remind me that long-term China is disinflationary as they produce things that just make stuff cheaper. That's of that sort of basic way of going about things.
Stuff's going too deeply, et cetera. Yeah.
Yep. And, so I saw the first note. Jonathan Payne, guest of the show, sort of saying, okay, now it's now the time that China is going to start being disinflationary to the world. Mm. And that's sort of the next thing that we're going to see. So that's as predicted, that you had to sort of play it out, short-term inflationary, long-term disinflationary, that's China. Now that's the next stage that we're going to see. So we are going to see this drastic drop of those inflation numbers, not just so much because of the base effect that we've had, that we saw witnessed last week, but just also because it is actually just coming off and things are actually cheaper. And also people are running out of money, apparently.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, though, in the US, they're, excuse me, it's fully priced in for a rate hike next month now.
Right.
So we saw jobs figures last night. Not jobs figures, but jobless claims coming stronger than expected. That stoked the yield fire over there, and I think that's part of the reason why we saw the NASDAQ come off so hard, and maybe why we might see a little bit of correction here in the NASDAQ if yields keep running, the jobs market remains fairly strong, etc., like it is in Australia as well. But it's interesting to see that, you know, that rate to hike is fully priced in. It would Powell would have to defy history to start raising rates again if he does that next month.
Yeah, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Just to note that we are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Australian Mutual Funds Exchange? Yes, it is. AMFEX, AMFEX, if you want to know anything about any mutual fund anywhere in the world. It's got access to over 3,000 right now. Could be more. Pick a place, especially in India. Indian mutual funds just continue to crank on. The more that I work on my big Indian presentation that I've got to give in a few weeks, the more I just see that it's just... as guaranteed a market as you could possibly have and say without getting sued or shut down by ASIC, which, hello if you're listening. And but the now, with regards to myself, I am moving. People have asked where I'm actually moving from and to. Me and my banana are going to go from – so I'm going from VFS, and I love the guys in it. It's all going to be – it's very friendly, very harmonious because they are still my good mates, and I've known them for most of my life now. I'm moving to Shaw and Partners.
Oh, wow.
Offer.
Fantastic.
An offer from them that was just great with regards to the things that I want to do, sort of that next stage in the career I couldn't really get a go of it at VFS. Not because of them. It's a different place, different function.
James Grealish over there, is it? Is that who's running? Yep. So you're going to sit next to him and
no.
Talk shop? No?
No.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I haven't seen James for ages. James is there. He's doing his what's Market Matters or whatever they're called. No, Adam Dawes is there. Trying to think about who else is there. Everyone's there. It's just this huge acquisition thing. They've got a bunch of new people going. So that's the big move for me, which I'm really excited about. That's in 3 weeks kicking off.
Congratulations first. I've actually seen they've got a major recruitment drive here in Adelaide too. Surprised. I mean, they must be really expanding their advisor network there.
They are. And always just looking to go towards it. So if anyone's got any questions or anything about Shores or the move or anything that can be brought out of that, or just some ideas about some bits and pieces, I've got some amazing ideas about doing a semi-rebrand of where I target and what I do and how we do it as well, just trying to focus on more of that generational wealth stuff. So that's a big important part of the market that really needs to be looked after. Oh, and on a different note, guess where I'm going tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Saturday? The footy?
No, I'm going to the commissioning of the USS Canberra.
Oh, okay.
Send it off to sea. Goodbye. So we're down at Woolloomooloo. Got to meet it. I got it through the American Australian Alliance, the AAA, which I'm attached to in sort of certain parts that I don't need to go into. Mm-hmm. They got a few tickets to the commissioning of this one. It's the second time in history that a US boat has been shipped, whatever, has been named after an Australian city. It's the second Canberra, I believe, that they've named it. And this one, it's a scary looking boat. Actually, I'll see if I can pull it up for you. Yeah, so yeah,
who is
that's what
that,
I've got.
Manufactured by? Is that by the guys that are listed here?
Austal, yep.
And Austal, yeah, yep.
Yep, yeah, yep. Austal, the US, brand of Austal.
Yeah.
So this is, for those who are looking there, I've got the Wikipedia up here. Can you see that in detail? Look at how scary that thing is. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That's not your normal ship.
I'm gonna be out there, you know, I was seeing if I could borrow some W-2s from some of my Navy friends and things like that and go out for my full dress uniform. But no. So anyway, we're gonna be there and sitting just to say, I've never been to the commissioning of a ship before, but it's good. And great, it shows that the strength of the US Australian alliance is still very much intact and will continue for many years to come.
Yes.
We're a key part of that strategy. What have you got coming up for the weekend, mate?
Not much. It's the winding down the school holidays. Last official day of school holidays here for the kids today. So we'll probably take them out and do something a little bit different today. But apart from that, it's just about getting ready for school next week and the normal cycle of schedule of things that comes with that. So, nothing too exciting here. Don't have footy on to go watch. It's a little bit of a quiet one for me.
Well, that's just how it's going to go. Now, speaking of footy, let's get a tip in and then we'll just close the show off. Okay, you know, we actually haven't said what we think is going to happen coming forward with the markets. I mean, it's all well and good talking about what has happened. Next stage is through. I'm still very much on the buy everything situation. I've seen no reason to change that as much. Mm-hmm. If I was going to do anything, at some stage, the bond allocation, because, you know, I've been the 60-40 absolute since late last year, and that has gone amazingly well, and I wish it was simpler the way that I did it. I mean, I've done it with too many products, and it should be possible, although this is sort of one of those difficulties of being an advisor for retail clients. Theoretically, I only need 4 ETFs to get this thing done, or even just one ETF, just a 60-40 ETF. But you don't, because you need to have some property in there. You need to have some international, domestic, and everything like that. Next thing you know, you've got this whole list of things on there. It's just like, well, I mean, really, I could have just done it with a global ETF, something in the NASDAQ, Aussie ETF, and then just two bonds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 ETFs you could do this whole thing with. But you can't because the industry doesn't work that way. So that's just my gripe. I see no reason for that to change. I will be decreasing the bond allocation over the next couple of months and topping that up into probably buying any market on a pullback that I can get, and probably adding, continuing to add to my Indian exposure as well. Yeah. That's all I've got ahead of me, Matt. I'm the less you do, the better, especially if you're trying to move a bunch of clients from one place to another as well. If you've got stuff that's in transit, it's really difficult to actually take any activity on accounts. Again, that's a thing about one of the troubles of retail advising.
Unfortunately, yeah. Mm. Personally, I'm a little bit cautious for this third quarter simply because of the many headwinds that I think the market is facing at the moment. I'm not so concerned about the Australian market, but the US market. I really think there could be, you know, some sort of correction there. 10%, nothing major, but like a nice healthy 10% correction there, considering the rally and all the headwinds there. But here in Australia, like you, I'm ready. I'm almost ready to push my buy button on a lot of resources. We all know the copper, you know, story, etc. China eventually is going to have to, you know, really go hard on that stimulus. They can't keep running the country like it is at the moment. If they want to start hitting some of their macro goals, etc., 5% GDP, etc., simply aren't going to make it unless they start really pushing it hard. We got some of the monthly figures out this week from China. They weren't half bad, but again, low bars and all. But yeah, resources are up there for me. I want to get in on tech, but I've obviously missed that that rally that we've had since the start of the year, that major Fang rally or whatever they're called now, the Mummers, or the, I can't remember.
I didn't know they had a new acronym for it.
Yeah. They changed the acronym and whatnot, because they've added NVIDIA, and now instead of Facebook, it's Meta, and you know, they change it all the time. But on any pullback there, I'd be jumping in, and I'm keen on jumping in something like Snowflake for the AI and data management side of things as well. But outside of that,
about Equinix.
Yeah, your data.
Don't
your
forget
data,
about my Equinix,
Yep. But I'm also cautious because we've got Australian reporting season coming up. I think it starts the end of next week. We get our first couple of companies announcing next week. And then August, it really ramps up. So that's going to provide a lot of volatility and opportunity as well. So I'll use that. We've already seen Ansell, one of the major top 100 stocks here in Australia, came out with a downgrade this week and got absolutely smacked 15%. Funnily enough, Ansell, huge beneficiary of the COVID period, excess demand for gloves and PPE gear. Now coming out the other side, you know, their customers bought too much, have got huge inventories, and they've got to destock. So they're actually, you know, cutting production, cutting employment, investing more in automation, and just waiting for their customers to, you know, run through their inventories and then to start ramping back up again. But that should be fairly short-lived. I'll actually like Ansell as a very long-term.
That's a classic Australian name, isn't
Yeah. No longer in the condoms and all that sort of gear. It's just rubber gloves and industrial gloves, etc. So, it's a very sticky business. very high barriers to entry. The compliance on gloves, especially medical gloves, are huge, and it's not anyone can just manufacture them and get into the game. It's actually quite hard. So I think they'll be okay longer term, but just not catching a falling knife there. But any weakness in the NASDAQ, decent weakness, I'll be a buyer there as well, I think.
Well, very good. Now, I've got I realized when you said that China and the stimulus and everything that was there, there was a really good big read article on the FT, which I'm just posting up here. Now I do have a subscription to the FT. This is some good stuff. Always love reading the big read because it really goes into the depth, in depth. Just talking about that things are going to get worse before Xi Jinping announces the stimulus effort. They reckon he's going to be okay to still let it run dry before really punching it in, if you understand sort of where I'm going here. Anyway, that's a theory that's going on there. I've got the stimulus measures. This is the M2 supply year-on-year change, and it's not going back up to anywhere close to where it was during the GFC, where they saved the day in the GFC. They're not going to apparently they're not going to come and save the day now. But here's the thing: they don't really need to anymore because it seems like everyone has managed to get themselves through this thing without it. So here comes the fun of the geopolitical situation. Now, footy tips, please.
Last week, I missed it again, even though I got the win all right. The margin wasn't there. I didn't think Carlton were gonna flog Port like they did, but they did, and they came. So this week I'm going.
You capped your margin, didn't you? You capped your margin.
Yeah. And I'm going to do it again this week. I'm a sucker. I'm going to pick Brisbane 1-39 versus Geelong up at the Gabba. That's paying about $2.20 actually. So 1-39 Lions at the Gabba versus the Cats is my pick. And obviously you had a winner.
I had another winner. I am unstoppable. I think that's five in a row or something for me. And there have been some absolute cranking wins too. Warriors, the Warriors beat the Sharks. Warriors were just outside. It's about $1.96 or something like that. Straight win. Don't cap it. No cap for real, if you know what I mean. I don't really have anything that special this week. I think that Rory McIlroy, as I called him yesterday, will win the Open.
I forgot that one.
You know what? Actually, I'm just gonna say that. Screw the NRL. I reckon Rory McIlroy is gonna win it's not the British Open, it's just the Open. So, I tried to watch some of it last night. I was just saying it had been too big and too long a day to be able to get through that, especially with all of the sport and the Women's World Cup.
I know, which is
fantastic. I had no idea how big this thing actually is. I have underestimated exactly how big this thing is.
Massive. Even here in Adelaide, we've got that, like the Fed Square sort of duplicate here in Adelaide next to the Festival Theatre where there's, you know, new buildings and everything going up. They've set up, you know, a big screen and, you know, beanbags and chairs and everything for everyone to come watch the World Cup. I think we had a couple of games here, but old Sammy Kerr, she's out for the first couple of games. We won last night, didn't we? 1-0. Yep.
Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah. So,
Irish team. People are stoked about this thing.
It's huge.
Yeah, I completely underestimated just how big it actually is. I mean, what did they have? 25,000 people or something there last night?
Yeah.
25?
Yeah.
I had a couple of mates who were there and just absolutely loving the atmosphere. Loving the atmosphere. Yeah. So, good luck to the Matildas out there. I'm sure that they'll go fine. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing. The Aussie dollar will rally another 5% on the back of a Matildas World Cup win.
As long as Sam Kerr comes back from injury, I think we could go really deep. The USA, etc., are a pretty formidable force. So,
it's funny.
Yeah,
one takeaway that I had from watching it was just that the finishing isn't quite there, and then you realize just what a step above that Sam Kerr is. She's one of the only ones that can actually put it away. You just need her just there on the end of it, just to bury the thing in the back of the net, and it seems like some of the others just couldn't get it done. Finish, guys. Come on, last touch is the most important touch. Anyway,
best player in the world in the women's. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure, she's great. We should get her on the show. I'll see if I can get her on the show.
I'm sure Wendell Saylor is get her.
Wendell Saylor is going to come on the show.
Oh, fantastic!
I had a beer with him a couple of months ago, and he was keen to come on and talk about his charity work. So,
I know who Wendell Saylor is.
See. He's a great guy too. He's just absolute legend. We're in the middle of Ryan's Bar, just having a couple of beers in the sun, and the world just gravitates to him. He's just this big, friendly guy. Always super nice. No problem with photos or anything like that. We're just sinking beers like we're old mates and everything like that. Everyone thinks we're superheroes. So it's just one of those classic Ryan's Bar, Sydney sunny sort of times, just drinking, sinking beers with Dell. Anyway, we're out. That's it. Let's go. Thanks for joining us, everyone. If you've got any questions, let us know. Thank you to Amfex for the sponsorship and keeping us going. And please go and check out the website and anything else you want to do. Otherwise, guys, thanks very much. Have yourself a good afternoon. Have yourself a good weekend.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Cheers, mate. Just stay on the line.
Yeah, no worries.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.